again bid you welcome. It's appreciation for your being here. Again, we say it often, we say it sincerely. It's just good to get together. Hope you have a bulletin. There's an outline of the lesson in the bulletin this morning. You're very welcome to follow along. By looking at the title, you may think that this is a holiday message. However, this lesson could be preached in June and July. Begin to look at the conclusion we're going to reach, because the title of the lessons we're going to see, Make Room for a King, is one of the most familiar stories in the Bible. Seems like it's one that we learn in our own cradle, even in older age. But it's interesting, when I title this lesson, Make Room for a King, I'm going to ask you to do that. Meaning you may be required to alter your schedule. If you're going to make room for a king, you have to change your plans. Make room for a king. It means you may have to prepare a place for Jesus in your life. Make room for a king. Hundreds of years before Jesus' birth, there were seeds that were told about his coming. Now, these are not in your notes. But back in Isaiah 7, verse 14, it said, Behold, a virgin shall conceive, bear a son, call his name Emmanuel. 700 years before Jesus was born. The angel's message to Joseph reminded him of this prophecy in Isaiah. In Matthew chapter 1, verse 22, it says, Now all this was done, meaning this preparation for the birth of Jesus, was done that it might be fulfilled the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, shall bring forth a son, they'll call his name Emmanuel, which is by interpretation, God with us. And then Joseph, the story continues in Matthew chapter 1, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, took unto him his wife. He knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son. They called his name Jesus. Concerning all of these prophecies, Micah 5 verse 2 says that Jesus would be born in Bethlehem and from the tribe of Judah. It's interesting when you read of the wise men from the east coming to Jerusalem, searching for this newborn Jesus. They appeared before Herod in search of Jesus' place of birth, and they read this prophecy in Micah. There's other prophecies concerning the coming of the Christ. In Malachi 3 verse 1, it mentions that John the Baptist would prepare the way for Jesus. In Psalm 41 verse 50, verse 9, it says one of the disciples would betray him. Zechariah 11 verse 12 says it would be by 30 pieces of silver, the betrayal price. In Zechariah 11, verse 13, it mentions the potter's field would be purchased with that betrayal money. Isaiah 53 foretells of Jesus' suffering, trial, and crucifixion. Psalm 24, verse 20, says that none of his bones would be broken when he was crucified. Psalm 16, verse 10, speaks of Jesus' resurrection. All of these prophecies and hundreds more made by different prophets, different times, prophecies made by prophets in different as they said, hundreds of years before the event took place. It's one of the many proofs that Jesus was the Son of God. But despite all of these prophecies that I've just listed for you, It seems like there were some unwelcome events in Jesus' life. Even though it was foretold by so many years ahead of time. And that gives us the lesson this morning. You would think that people should have known. Should have been aware. Room should have been made. The Messiah should have been accepted or received. But no. Starts out in our lesson text today. Luke chapter 2 verse 7. The phrase was, there was no room for them in the inn. And that sets the stage, as we said. That seemed like no room for Jesus happened a lot in his ministry. No room. Background is, in Luke chapter 2, verse 1, as was read to us, it came to pass in those days, went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed or registered. See, in the Roman Empire, periodical census was taken for a double purpose. One was for the purpose of assessing a tax. What we have today is not new. We're liable for military service. The Jews were exempt from military service, so in Palestine, a census would be made for tax purposes. In verses 4 and 5 of the text that was read to us, it says Joseph went up from Galilee, quite a ways north, to Judea, city of David, called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David. And he went to be taxed or to be registered with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. So every Jew, they went to their home city because that's where the ancestral records were kept. It's what kind of interesting to know that Mary went with him. Quite a long journey. Joseph could have enrolled her without her being there because she was expecting a child. But it's about an 80-mile journey, and we would think, kind of compared to today, crude conditions. You wonder, Mary, why go? It's not a paved highway. Double lane. Now there's not a Holiday Inn Express. Not a 7-Eleven. Can't stop. But you see, God had a providential hand in guiding them to the right place at the right time. Galatians 4 verse 4 says, when the fullness of time came, God sent forth his son, born of woman, born under the law. So God made sure that Joseph and Mary got to the right place at the right time, according to prophecy. In verse 7, it says she brought forth her firstborn son. Now don't let that pass, just kind of give it a passing glance. Mary brought forth her firstborn. Firstborn. I'll emphasize that again. There's some who would teach that Mary remained a perpetual virgin. Mary brought forth her firstborn. Now, it was common knowledge among the people during Jesus' time that Mary had other children. Matthew chapter 13, beginning of verse 53, says, it came to pass when Jesus had finished teaching in these parables, he departed from there. And when he was come into his own country, back in Nazareth, insomuch that they were astonished at his teaching. And they said, the people that were listening to Jesus, what did they say? There are six questions in the text. Matthew chapter 13, verse 53. Said, where did this man get his wisdom and these mighty works? Jesus. isn't this the carpenter's son? Isn't his mother called Mary? Now the question, and are not his brothers James and Joseph and Simon and Judas? Fifth question, and they ask, are not all his sisters with us? The last question they ask is, where did this man get all this? And they took offense at him. Oh, no room. So Mary brought forth her firstborn son. Interesting phrase that's given in John chapter 3, verse 16, familiar verse. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Mary brought forth her firstborn. Jesus is God's only begotten son, and Mary had children with Joseph, her children, and their names are given. Also in the text that was read to us in verse 7, Jesus wasn't cradled in a palace. Borrowed manger for his birth. No room for Jesus. During his ministry, Jesus said in Matthew 8, verse 20, the foxes have holes, the birds of the air have nests. The Son of Man doesn't have a place to lay his head. No room for a king. There's a borrowed beast upon which he rode when he made entry into Jerusalem. There's a borrowed grave for his body when he was removed from the cross. No room in the inn. No room for Jesus. I know when our boys were born, we made room. We prepared a room. But this phrase, no room for them, meaning Jesus and Joseph and Mary, that seems to be a quality of life that would surround Jesus the rest of his life or during his ministry. I remember reading a story of a family that was traveling across the desert area late at night. All of traveling through the town, it's in all the motels, no vacancy. You got to the last one in town, you know, the sign says, you know, no services for the next 100 miles and late. And he said, last motel said no vacancy, but he pulled in anyway. Pleaded with the motel keeper, you know, for a room. He said, we don't have one. The man says, if the president of the United States came in right now, you would find him a room, wouldn't you? He said, oh yes, if the president of the United States came in, I'd find him a room. The man said, well, the president's not coming, so I'll take his room. No room for a king. Number two in your notes, and I'll get through this. I know I just have a few minutes left. I just wanted to spend time on that first one to illustrate that with all the prophecies, should have been room for the king. But the second one, during Jesus' first years, there was no room for him in Jerusalem. Herod. It's in Matthew chapter 2, verse 13. In a dream. It said, arise and take the young child and his mother and flee into Egypt. Stay there until I bring you word. For Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. So he arose, took the young child and his mother by night. Departed into Egypt. He was there until the death of Herod, that it might be spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, out of Egypt I have called my son. And that was prophesied in Hosea chapter 11, verse 1. Out of Egypt, calls him back. So now our lesson continues during the earthly ministry of Jesus. And we find that there's no room in Gadara, among the Gadarenes or Decapolis. There was a man that was possessed with devils, and it was in our Bible class lesson this morning. And when Jesus cast the demons out of the man, the demon requested to be put in a herd of swine, and that was done, and they cast themselves off the cliff. The herdsmen that were watching the swine fled to the city and told them all about the event. Matthew records it this way. We looked at the Gospel of Mark this morning in Bible class. But Matthew said the whole city came out to meet Jesus. They saw him and besought him that he would depart out of their coasts. Oh, no room for Jesus. He just healed the man. And they saw it. But they were more concerned about their swine business than the majesty and the message of Jesus. Jesus, no room in Gadara or Decapolis for you. You got to go. Number four in your notes is no room in Galilee. I mean, that's his own country. So when Jesus teaches there, the people are astonished. Wow. But they couldn't believe that he was Jesus the Messiah because, as those six questions we just asked in Matthew chapter 13, he's the son of Mary and Joseph. We see his brothers here. His sisters are here. So they were offended in 13 verse 57. So Jesus said to them, prophet has honor everywhere except in his own country and in his own house. So he did not many mighty works there because of their unbelief. I have honor everywhere except my own country. Jesus, you can't come. Not as the Messiah. No room for you here. It's interesting, the Gospel of John says in chapter 7, verse 5, that his brothers did not believe in him. Your family. No room, Jesus. Number five, there's not even room in Samaria. Jesus is up in the northern part of the country, and now he's going to begin his journey to Jerusalem. And he knows that he's on the road to Jerusalem. When he gets there, he's going to suffer and die. In Luke 9, verse 52, before he begins this journey home, he enters into a village of the Samaritans, and they did not receive him. When they didn't receive him, James and John wanted to call fire down from heaven and consume the Samaritans. Mm-hmm. Because they didn't receive Jesus. Jesus says, no, in verse 56 of Luke chapter 9, Son of Man has not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. And then it says he went to another village. No room there. No room. You see where we're going with this? Number six, no room in the world, in his own. He was in the world. The world was made by him, but the world knew him not. Came to his own, and his own received him not. Number seven. No room in the lives of many of his followers. John chapter 6. From that time, many of his disciples went back. You know why? A couple verses earlier it says, what Jesus said was a hard saying. They wanted a smooth road. They didn't like Jesus' message. That's not what I want to hear. That's not my personal belief. So Jesus, I can't follow you because I don't like your message. Wow. You don't like what Jesus said? So you're not going to follow. That time, many of his disciples went back. Walked no more with them. So Jesus said to the 12, will you also go away? Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. And we believe and are sure that thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God. Well said. You leave Jesus, to whom will you go? Kind of ask yourselves the same question. I don't make room for Jesus in my life. To whom will you go? And why? In John chapter 8, verse 30, says Jesus spake these words. Many believed on him. That's good. You'd think Jesus is going to turn around and give him some applause. You'd think Jesus would say, attaboy, multitudes. Thank you for believing on me. Well, let's continue reading the text. They believed on him. You think that's sufficient? Oh, my hands are up. I believe. Oh, good for you. Well done. But there's more. It's not sufficient. Right in the text, many believe. So then Jesus said to those Jews which believed on him, if ye continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. I believe is sufficient. You need to make room for Jesus. Follow his word. His word. Number 8, in some religious groups, there's no room for Jesus. In Luke 19, verse 47, Jesus taught daily in the temple. But the chief priests, the scribes, and the chief of the people sought to destroy him. Like what Jesus had to say. Didn't believe the prophets. They didn't make room for the Messiah. Didn't meet their expectations. Jesus, you're right. They're saying, my Messiah is this way. And since you are not this way, the way that I think, you don't have room in my life. Now, these are not just priests, chief priests, scribes, the chief of the people. That's the verse. Luke 19, verse 47. And they sought to destroy. No room for Jesus. In Matthew 15, verse 1, then came to Jesus scribes and Pharisees, which were of Jerusalem. Jesus said in verse 3, why do you transgress the commandment of God by your tradition? These are the religious leaders. And Jesus says, you're transgressing the commandment of God. Can religious people transgress the commandment of God? That's what Jesus said. Now the lesson's titled, Make Room for a King. You think they're religious people, surely they'll make room. No, they didn't. Jesus said in verse 9 of Matthew 13, in vain do you worship me. You're worshiping and you're not accepted? Now let that sink in. You're transgressing the commandment of God by your traditions. That's not okay. But you're religious. These are religious people, and Jesus says, in vain do you worship. Well, that's why I'm worshiping. I don't want to worship in vain, but Jesus said, your worship is vain, it's useless, it's not accomplishing what it's intended to, because you teach for doctrine the commandment of man. No room for it. Paul told Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2, preach the word for the time. Now listen carefully. The time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. That's not a compliment. They will not endure sound doctrine. But after their own lust, they will heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they'll turn away their ears from the truth and be turned aside to fables. No room for a king. Religious people, no room for a king. So let's bring it home now. I've just given you 8 situations, biblically, 8 where there was no room for a king. We would probably look at those and think, oh, what were those people thinking? Now let's bring it home. Is there room for Jesus in your life and mine? Sometimes Jesus gets crowded out because we lose priority. Matthew 6, verse 33, Jesus himself said, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. First, these things will be added unto you. Too many put their own interests first. Gets the leftovers. Didn't make room for a king. That's the lesson today. Make room for a king. Don't crowd Jesus out with all of my things. Make room for a king. Kind of gives a different lesson, doesn't it? Well, make room, no room in the inn? Well, no, that's the story of Jesus' birth. Well, wait a minute. Not any room in your heart, in your life, for Jesus? Make room. Make room is the lesson. Put in your notes, it begins, starts with your decision to become a Christian. Make room for Jesus. You become a Christian having followed that simple plan of procedure by learning about him, believing the evidence, having a desire to turn your life around, willing to confess your faith that Jesus is God's Son. You'd be baptized for remission of sins. The Bible says, rise and walk in newness of life in Romans chapter 6. That's the invitation we extend. Make room for a king. From that point on, then, as big an illustration of being a new babe in Christ, then we get to grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We stand on his side. So that's the invitation. Let's sing the song that Dennis has selected for us. If your desire, if your resolve is to answer that invitation that Jesus gives. You simply come and have a seat beside me and let that request be made known at the close of the song.